This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 16, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and Kevin Lynch. Show.
All right, we've been talking for weeks about how terrible Kevin Lynch, aka Flonk's, microphone is. I wanted to provide you some concrete evidence. Here is a quick montage of our many attempts to get him on the show one Saturday afternoon.
Right. I'm iPhone. I just need to convince myself that I am.
What did you just do?
Yeah, you got super quiet.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, crap.
Wait, there he goes. Is that better?
No.
No. You actually did give us a good setup for the Larry King thing.
Okay.
The other day. That was gold. We Matt had never heard the one where he falls asleep.
That was so fucking awesome.
You've heard that one, right?
Right.
Are you gone again?
Oh, shit.
God damn it. We can't even hear you faintly. Yeah, now
you're... there?
The hell, man?
What?
Hello?
Hello?
We're talking to you. God damn it.
Hello?
Yeah.
There's you.
Am I back?
Yes.
How do I turn off the video?
I don't know. There.
That's
look at the hotel room. Awesome.
Turn off? How do I...
How do you what?
Don't stop believing.
Oh, please don't do that.
At least we know it works.
For the moment.
2 seconds anyway, it'll work. This will be great.
Please stop that. And now we're getting some kind of feedback from your end.
And if you think that's tedious to listen to, imagine what we had to go through. I just edited about an hour, no kidding, 1 hour, down to about 2 minutes, just to give you the impression of what went on there. Finally, we called the landline at his house and were greeted by the very pleasant Mrs. Flonk, his mother.
Yes, delicious.
Somebody call you on the landline, bro?
Yes.
Oh.
Can we hang up now?
It's like your dinosaurs.
Yeah.
It's his fault. His phone is terrible.
Okay, goodbye.
Panel discussion.
Hi, hello, yes. Our guest this week is someone you've heard us talk about a lot, usually not in a very positive way. Number three of three in our Your Mic Sucks series, Kevin Lynch, a.k.a. Flonk.
Hi, guys. First time caller, long time listener.
Oh, also, Matt, I forgot to introduce you. You're here. Yeah. Flonk apparently is upset.
The man who needs no introduction, Matt Robotham.
Robotham?
Robotham, whatever. Crazy
the man
Canadian
who needs
pronunciation.
No correct pronunciation.
I don't know how to pronounce your name. But I can remember it.
You'd never remember it. You'd like, what's it? It's Kevin. It's not that hard. It's just Kevin. But, of course, we have tried to have Flonk on a few times before, some technical issues. We're actually pondering leaving in some of the hilarious technical issues we had this past time, just to prove to him that we're not fucking with him. That is actually a real phenomenon that happens.
Instead of just deleting them immediately like you have the last times?
Oh, no. I spend hours listening to them trying to boost level. No kidding. I downloaded a program that evens out the levels. I tried really hard to make them work. And then I just...
Well, you didn't try hard enough.
Clearly, that's the case. Because
it's obviously your fault.
Couldn't possibly be your...
You should have harder.
It's true. I do apologize for that. One thing we should get out of the way is this the top of the show or the bottom of the show? I never know. Do we start at the top?
I believe this is the top.
Yeah, we start at the top and work to the bottom.
Ah, that's
much like food.
Much like us. And that's not a gay thing. I mean, we start trying to be good and we end up, you know,
we're not gay.
The dregs. No, not
you
at all.
You said we were.
We just have a hotel room together here. It's something that Flonk has mentioned off the air and. We wanted to address. Apparently, he feels slighted that we have not answered his mails
as we have now in our new show bumpers, promised, guaranteed an answer to everyone's questions.
Yes, these really? Are serious questions that demand an answer, and you just seem to be blowing me off, and I don't appreciate it.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I would say for the first 70 or 80, we took them pretty seriously, mm-hmm. and then we went into a bit of a decline for the next 400 or 500 of them, mm-hmm. and then after that, yeah, we maybe started ignoring them, but...
Only one or two.
Yeah, but I have a strong feeling about number 7,000. I think mm-hmm. by then, we're really going to start taking you seriously again,
yep.
so... Keep those cards and letters coming.
Right now.
Seriously though, what didn't we answer? This show is almost the full.
As we have you, you might as well just give them to us.
I'm sure it was donut related. I'm trying to go back because I've sent so much since. Like you guys are really far ahead in the recordings, and I've sent so much since then. I'm going back and trying to figure out where exactly.
Oh, I'm sure we've dismissed many of your questions then as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But if you have any specific topic you feel we haven't addressed, if you feel like we need to talk about it, go. Do it now and then shut up.
I like eggs. I don't know what your hatred of eggs is all about.
Eggs are gross.
They are gross. Scrambled is the only way I can eat eggs.
Maybe you're gross.
Your face is gross.
So is your face.
Mom's face.
I'm going to mom your face in a minute.
Come on, let's keep this going. I'm not going to stop you.
That as far as we can.
I win. You all saw it. I fucking won.
It's true. Matt wins.
For now.
I'm not sure what you win, but you win. So
you win good. The cup.
He wins the
yes,
donut.
Cup. There are no donuts. For the last goddamn time, there will be no donuts. There have never been... I don't even want to say the word donut anymore. We do have some letters here from you, actually, as we speak.
Really?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and here That's he asks us...
We keep them so we can look at them.
It's true. He asks us, Sid Hoffman or Sid Frenchman?
Who's Sid Hoffman?
Nope, Sid Frenchman.
I'm going to go with Sid Frenchman.
Sid, no. That's cheating. That doesn't count. Right. I play by the rules.
Fine.
Sid Hoffman or Sid Frenchman?
You're a loose cannon, Lynch.
And this other question of yours has to do with us not answering your questions, so we answered that. And then we have one from the, as we are now referring to him, the Superior Lynch, your brother, Brian.
Lynch Prime.
Sure.
Lynch Prime, yes.
I'm the older one.
Sorry. So he's version 2.0.
Yeah, we don't make the rules.
There you go.
With improvements. Dear Internet's Algar Watt, his lovable sidekick Matt, and everyone's favorite guest. Well, that's not true. Has anyone successfully rocked a Hitler mustache? Chaplin and Hardy did it specifically to look stupid. Himmler was just ripping off his boss, and Robert Mugabe's is so narrow, it just looks like he has a really deep lip dent. Regards, B. Lynch.
Hmm.
First of all, I don't know who Robert Mugabe is, and I may be saying his name incorrectly.
I'll apologize. Apologies to you.
Yes, absolutely, especially if you're a left-hander.
Whoever and whatever you are.
Yes.
Superior Lynch is a lefty, by the way.
Well, good for him.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's superior.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, the Hitler stash is one of those things... It's kind of like naming your kid Adolf. You just can't do it anymore. I mean, it's that guy ruined so much for the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can't grow that mustache. You can't be named Adolf. You can't exterminate...
The family Hitler had to go and change their names.
Yeah, exactly. You can't exterminate an entire race of people anymore without everyone saying, oh, God, you're just like Hitler.
He's always ripping off Hitler.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs when you can't just engage in some light genocide for you know, entertainment purposes because, oh, Hitler did it.
Well, I'll tell you this. My grandpa rocked a Hitler mustache well into the 80s.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Good for
him. Is your grandfather J. Jonah Jameson?
I wish. That would be awesome.
Because really,
they finally just changed his mustache like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
really?
They finally expanded it out to a full lip mustache.
Yeah.
Well, I know in the movies they obviously nobody has a Hitler mustache anymore, but they went with what I think is a great successor to that, which is the missing the top pencil thin kind of mustache,
mm-hmm.
like the Walt Disney John Waters
pedophile
style
mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
The pedo-rape
That's
style.
Another one too. Who does anybody rock that mustache now besides John Waters?
Well, English Gav did until we told him to burn it off with fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe that proves my point.
But it seemed. To me, anyway, and Gav, if you're listening, or other Gav who ratted him out, by all means, let us know. It appeared that he could not grow the top part. Like he was trying to grow a mustache, and he just didn't have the follicles, and it just came
That's
out.
That's sad.
the bottom part.
It is sad.
It is.
Sad for him.
Yeah, hilarious.
Mail him some of your Algar's Rogaine.
Do I have that?
I don't know. Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot? By the way, something. Why do you care? That's the best part of that tape right there. That total non-English sentence from professional broadcaster.
Nothing. It's a bunch of words that really, you understand what he wants to say, but it's just not quite coming out right.
But professional broadcaster.
It's like a dog going wrong.
Yeah, live on the air for years and years, like he should be thinking off the top of his head. He should be able to string a sentence together and just can't make it happen. Word salad.
You paint your bald spot.
No, by the way, something. Why you care?
Your mom paints her bald spot.
I'll paint your bald spot.
Well, let's not get into this again. Matt already won. We're not doing a rematch. So, yeah. Actually, because we have trashed the last two recordings we've done with Flunk because they're completely unusable, we should probably go through the actual, no kidding, who this guy is. As with so many of our guests, unlike the ones we went to high school with, this is a guy we met on a comic book message board.
One of those people we met on the internet.
Right, which never goes well, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any plans to get people you don't know on the show?
Someday, maybe.
I don't know. Do you have any?
My brother, apparently.
No, we know your brother. Well, we like your brother.
We'll definitely take your brother.
He's written on my Facebook wall a few times. Yeah. I mean, we're not close pals, but we've communicated.
We dream of a day when we can talk to Will Wheaton.
I don't think that we do.
Yes, true.
Well,
actually,
I dream of a day when you can talk
to Will
Wheaton.
I do. That'll be your highest rated show ever.
Yeah.
I talked about this before, and when I went back and listened to myself, I'm like, God, that's really... Because what I said was, if I meet him, I'm going to tell him he stole my joke. Like, that's it. In my head, it's not like I'm going to beat him up. It's not like I'm going to be passive aggressive. All I want to do is state the fact to him. I don't have any crazy revenge fantasy.
Well, the thing is, like, even if we can just get past that, I think it would be an interesting conversation.
He absolutely would be an interesting guy to talk to after the joke thief.
Like us.
Mm-hmm.
And
except I acknowledge when I steal people's jokes.
Exactly.
But
you're better than him, and you should tell him so.
Well, yeah, and I didn't play Wesley Crusher. But
that's also true. No one seems to want to talk to him.
Not on TV, anyway.
Well, yes. I mean, in my personal life, I'm never not doing that.
Your large collection of rainbow sweaters really gives you away.
It's true. Actually, I prefer the little gray jumpsuit with the ribbed for her pleasure top that they gave him in when he was the acting ensign.
Al's rocking that one right now.
It's true. If there weren't a piece of felt obscuring the camera, you could see that. But no, actually, and it occurs to me, we could spend the entire hour just talking about Star Trek because, you know,
like Flunk, Star Trek.
Flunk is one of those guests that... a couple of people surprised us with that, with their Trek knowledge. But Flunk is an established, you know,
completely unsurprising.
We could go through the Jeffries tube thing and the deflector array and but every time we do this, I feel like, you know, we're losing. Like I can hear listeners like clicking off. I can hear it somehow, and they're just
because you have to reverse the polarity of the shield harmonics.
No, what you have to do is reconfigure the deflector array to emit a low level tachyon pulse that will. Reverse the Verderon emissions from the spatial anomaly and collapse the waveform.
You fool, that'll leave us vulnerable.
Well, not if you shield the Jeffries tubes with an intense burst of some other kind of particles.
Bald spot paint.
Yeah, a little of a force field rerouted through the primary EPS conduits.
Yeah, but the force fields are unavailable because we're running a level 2 diagnostic.
It always comes back to the diagnostic.
Actually, that's one of my favorite little, and there's really nothing to this story. Our guest a few weeks ago, Mark Darren, who of course I have to mention in every show.
Mark Darren.
Yes, but
almost gets mentioned as much as me in every show.
It's true, except in a positive light.
Friend of the show and foe.
Problem.
Friend of the show and foe of the show.
Yeah, exactly. We have the angel and the devil. No, this actually has nothing to do with bragging about his success. This is when we were living together. And one day someone knocked on our door in the apartment and it was like a Jehovah's Witness.
This is before you moved in with Matt?
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. Now,
okay.
Matt now has the Ernie and Bert beds with me and that whole setup. And we addressed that with Mark, though. He's not jealous at all. So that's good. But no, somebody came to the door and it was someone we didn't want to talk to, like a Jehovah's Witness or a salesperson or whatever. Mm. And Mark just frantically, like he adopts this posture, like everything's going wrong and the house is, everything's crazy. He's like, I don't have time to talk to you right now. We're running a level 3 diagnostic. And he just slams the door.
Nice.
And he was oh, great for awesome. That. He was great for those bits of, because he usually plays it straight, mm-hmm. and then suddenly he'll just be really weird. One Halloween, we talked about doing this. Unfortunately, he never did. Mm-hmm. He wanted to make a big pot of mashed potatoes, mm-hmm. a giant, just like gallon tub of mashed potatoes, and get a ice cream scoop. Mm-hmm. And when kids hold their bag out, just plop. Yeah, nice. You know, kids. Just that was the kind of guy he was. That was nice. But,
oh, that's awesome. I hate kids too.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're all agreed that kids are terrible. Actually, Flonk, do you hate kids as well?
I have no problem with kids as long as I can get rid of them when I'm done with them.
Fair enough. So we were introducing you. Actually, I realized.
Oh, really? Yeah. Hi. Glad to be on the show.
Yeah, no kidding. Flonk worked with us on our stupid webcomic for a while. Mm-hmm. Matt and I started did a year's worth, and then brought him aboard for the middle year, and we did some decent stuff. We talked about this before in the Lost cast. Looking back, I think we were happier with that than we were when we were doing it. Mm. But
we're all
kind of on the same. What's that?
No, it looks much better in retrospect than it did as it was coming out.
Yeah, and there was a lot of sort of okay, he's bugging me for a script again. Let me get this in, but. But really, and to put aside all the ball busting and everything, the reason I like working with Matt and then also with you is we're kind of on the same wavelength, and we can do that sort of running improv thing, and I can just, you know, drop a cliffhanger in your lap and say here, and kind of trust your instincts to come up with something. And I,
or more accurately, we can be working on something, and then Matt could just go in a completely different direction, and we have to figure out exactly how to get back to what we were doing.
Right. Well, I think the part of the problem we had doing that was Matt and I had worked together for a year and kind of got used to the specific, you know, like, okay, he's probably going to take it here and then I'll take it here. And then throwing a third person and really kind of screwed that up, I think, which is why, you know, we didn't bring you back.
I didn't come back for the third one.
Exactly. And I still feel kind of bad about that because it's not like we fired you. It's more just like this doesn't work with three people.
We should stop calling.
Yeah. I made my own sequel comic, but I lost it, so really? I'm glad I brought it up.
Well, you were before that and concurrently with that and now worked on your own webcomic with an actual real artist.
A guy I went to high school with, but yeah.
A guy who draws things, though.
There you go.
Called The Spork. And the website is what? The Spork?
Spork-comics.com. Uh-huh. It's a superhero comic basically at its core, I guess. But there's very little actual heroics in it. It's just, you know, stuff like this, just hanging around bullshitting what you do when you're
right, and
what you do after work, basically, with your work friends.
It struck me as kind of like if you took those bits from The Tick where they're sitting around at the diner and you took out the bits where they're fighting the supervillains, that's basically
Especially the TV show version of it.
Right, that's kind of
where they didn't have a budget for any superheroes.
Right. Or like if you took like a show like Seinfeld where guys are just sitting around talking and put superhero costumes on them.
Great. Now I'm picturing Jason Alexander in spandex. How would you do that?
Please don't.
it could be much worse. It could be Michael Richards in spandex.
Or Wayne Knight. Newman.
Now I'm struggling to think of like who he would play, and I mean, of course he'd be a villain, but I just can't think of, you know,
the Blob, obviously.
You think?
Yeah.
Hello, Otto. No, that doesn't work for me. But yeah, you've made this.
That makes
comic.
Kramer the Vulture, so it actually works out pretty well.
That would be perfect.
Haven't people been trying to sell that for a while? That Larry David playing the Vulture, like.
Yes, stupid people.
I get the feeling Larry David would be too embarrassed to get out of his trailer. Now. Like, here's your costume. Fuck no.
I've heard that like on the message boards and a couple of places. Everyone's like, God, that's the obvious choice. Like, is it?
I don't think that it is.
No, I don't either. Because he's bald. I mean, that seems to be like the if you're dream casting a comic book movie, at least in the 90s. I don't know if it still works this way, but people will cast based on hair color.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, Mary Jane's got red hair, so let's cast a red hair. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to
be. It was based on hair color, and if your name is Bruce Campbell.
Yeah,
well, that's true. Although
fit Bruce Campbell into this movie.
Yeah, and, you know, he's one of those guys, I don't know if I mentioned this before, he's one of those guys I really want to like,
mm-hmm.
and he's really only done about two or three good things, and it's like, you know, come on, guy, you're so charming, and you're kind of talented, but, like, Why do you keep doing so much crap?
It seems like he can only play Bruce Campbell.
But Bruce Campbell is an engaging, charming character. Like, I will give him that.
If you need anyone other than Bruce Campbell, you probably shouldn't get him.
But apart from the Evil Dead movies, the three Evil Dead movies, which really are just two movies and one remake, and, like, Bubba Hotep, has he really done any, like, starring roles where he's been?
He was that guy in Xena.
Okay. I was not a fan of Xena.
Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah, Briscoe County Jr. was pretty good.
Was it actually good, or was it just...
That was all right.
Are you guys remembering
it? I saw it for the first time, like, 2 years ago, and it was okay. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't what everyone had made it out to be.
Right. I bought the DVD, and I enjoyed it well enough.
But you might have some, like, sentimental attachment. Like, did you watch it when it was first on, or...
No.
Oh.
I just like Bruce Campbell, and it was kind of steampunky. So.
It strikes me that Nathan Fillion is gearing up to be the new Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, that makes me kind of sad, because I'd like to see him in a lot more
He's
stuff.
Very charming. He's got about the same level of talent, where he's not super flexible, but he can play himself really well.
Yeah. He has a mighty chin.
Yeah, and he's... I mean, the ladies love him, but he's also got a good sense of humor, and we can kind of relate to him as nerds, but he doesn't seem to pick very good stuff.
Yeah.
He picks good stuff, but stuff that's not going to go anywhere. Like, you know, watching that, like, yeah, this is going to last for about a week, and then it's going to go away.
See, I haven't really seen much with him in it, so I couldn't say.
I loved Slither, which I really hoped it would do well, and just didn't.
Was that, what was that?
That was that horror flick he did.
Ah.
It was very sort of...
Was it a horror film or like a horror parody film?
No, it was a horror flick. It was funny, but it was still a horror flick.
Hmm. What was it? So give me the...
It's sort of like, it was kind of, you know, meteorite crashes to Earth that has alien parasites on it. They start infecting everyone in the town.
Okay.
There's a lot of, like, tentacle monster stuff.
Well, of course you liked it.
Well, yeah, obviously.
You have that weird tentacle fetish. Mm-hmm. Just baffles me. But
I'm not going to argue that.
And I'm not putting it down. It's
you like incest? I like tentacles.
Yeah, we can just throw that onto the pile with the incest and the furries.
Okay, so it's like your standard horror setup, it sounds like space monsters come and terrorize the town.
A lot of it has to do with just the fact that, you know, he's a good main character and he's funny, you know?
Much like Bruce Campbell, but to me, Bruce Campbell is never really used to his full potential. It's like, just throw him in any piece of crap instead of like, no, play him for the laughs, play him for the camp value, you know, he can sell those cheesy lines.
Oh, yeah. He was great in all three Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, but that's more of a wink to the audience. That's you know, he works with Sam Raimi. Here, you know, hey guys, look who it is.
He's driving that car.
Yeah. Maybe he could play Venom driving the van in that.
That would be awesome.
Was that you, Flunk, that kept posting that image?
No.
Venom driving the truck and honking the horn. Yeah. That's fucking hilarious.
On the message board years ago, there was like a little animated GIF of like.
Road Rage Venom.
It was like, but he didn't look that angry, and it was like a standard, like, cheesy cartoon van, like a Scooby-Doo van, and it's just Venom, like this creepy, fluidy, alien-y thing.
Just blasting the horn.
Driving a van. It's so fucking absurd that I and Flunk, you're drawing a blank here, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
You should.
But, yeah, that wasn't me. I don't know who it was.
Huh. You should use that for the cover for this one.
Yeah, sure. We'll just throw caution to the wind, and Marvel can sue us. That's fine. No problem.
Fine.
Oh, shit. No.
Yeah,
no. No.
No. No. It's Disney now. Definitely don't do that.
No. Nothing.
We are not incurring
What's Marvel? I don't. Who are you?
Yeah, I've never heard of Venom. What? Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Prank caller.
but getting back to you've done this this webcomic sort of off and on for some time, and I say webcomic, but you've also done a printed version of it. And
we had one book. We're getting back into it, working on the second
book.
We're recording
tonight, really far ahead, so by the time this comes out, hopefully you'll actually have
I'm not making any promises, but
fair enough.
Yeah, with any luck, it'll be back up and running by the time this.
And I can really speak to the quality of this. Like, I usually, and I've said this a couple of times, when like somebody we've met on the internet is an artist and says, "Look at my stuff," I'm like, I have to? And I'll look at it and it won't be any good, and I'll have to tell them it's not any good. And it's a lot the way I feel like people reading my stuff. Like, oh, you're not an artist. Stop putting, you know, like 3D figures up as art. But I read it, and it's actually like you have a good sense of like. Classic comedy, and you're a lot like me. You like to study like the bones of comedy and how it all works and like, set up.
Yeah,
a
no, the newspaper format, your three strip comic or three panel comic strip is fascinating to me. I love working and trying to tell a story when you have to have a punchline every three or four frames is a good writing challenge for me.
Yeah, no kidding. I tried when I was a kid to read the Spider-Man, daily strip.
Oh, God.
And it was like the first panel would recap what happened in the last strip. The second one would move things along slightly. And the third one would tease the next strip. Yeah. So it was effectively a one panel strip.
Yeah.
And
they've actually, in the newer ones, it's now only like two panels because because newspaper strips are so small anymore. Like you can only do two panels or else the art's going to be all condensed and you can't see it.
And
so now just absolutely nothing happens. It's just, this is what happened last time. Now Spider-Man's going to jump off a building. And now the next one, he's jumping off the building and now he's going to land.
So it's like seeing single frames.
For the next 6 months.
It's like seeing single frames of film.
Yeah, basically.
Like doled out daily.
Yeah. Thanks, Stanley.
Yeah. That was one of those things that Bill Watterson, Watterson? Yeah, the Calvin and Hobbes guy, loved to play with. Like, you gave me 5 inches or whatever, but I can make that 20 panels. Yeah. I can make it one panel. Like, he was really good at.
Well, he had put his foot down. He had quit went on a sabbatical for a couple months. Mm-hmm. And when he came back, he was just like, I'm not doing this format that you want me to. Just give me half newspaper page. I'll do whatever I want, and you can shrink it down however you need to do to fit it in the paper. But I'm not going by this cut up panel stuff anymore.
And that was why he was awesome.
Yeah, and
exactly.
He's one of those guys. He's one of those rare guys like Alan Moore, and there's a couple others who come off as kind of an aloof jerk, mm-hmm. but they totally earn that.
Yeah,
because he didn't want to do marketing. That was one big thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he wouldn't do any merchandising at all. Am I correct that he didn't want to do interviews? I don't remember that. But like, he wasn't big on publicity. I think
he's done maybe like three in the entire time since Calvin and Hobbes started.
And when he quit, he's like, "That's it. I'm done. This is the end." Like, he quit on his
own
terms.
Hasn't done anything since.
Yep.
Well, no. What I read was he's painting.
Yeah.
Now he wants to.
Yeah, he does landscapes.
But this is what I read, that he deliberately painted 100 individual paintings, and after he was finished with each one, he burned them. Or destroyed them. I don't know if he burned them specifically. Because what he said was, this is a new medium for me. Mm. I don't want to do this for money. I don't want to do this for whatever. I'm learning. And I'm just going to do it as an exercise and then destroy it and start over.
God damn.
Over and over and over again. And that's crazy talk. That's what crazy people do.
Yeah.
But with him, it's like, no, this is a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. And I think that's, like, I think it makes sense for him. He's kind of a recluse now. He's kind of just out...
Yeah, like, well, I mean, I guess he's living off of book sales.
And if you look
at that, what residual money? He didn't do any cartoons or he's just living off the book money now.
Yeah. And the fact that he can do that is amazing. But
well, I mean, you go into any big bookstore, they're still there.
I have actually and I'm sure you guys maybe have them too or have seen them, the enormous.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Calvin and
Hobbes. I bought it. I haven't read it yet. And because of this discussion, I just picked it up off my bookshelf and I'm going to probably start it tonight.
Mm-hmm. It's very unwieldy. And this is a lame argument, I know. But really,
there's no way this is coming on the train with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're not wrong.
You're not reading that on the toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not taking it on the bus with you. You're not taking it even to, to school or whatever. Yeah. It's just fucking you need, even reading it in bed is difficult. Because, you got to prop yourself up on your shoulder. You're not holding it up above your head.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. It's huge. You need one of those big, stone lecterns.
Yeah.
At the library where they put the dictionary on.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a stone tablet.
But, I mean, it deserves that classic treatment. It's just hard to read that way. But he's also written some essays, I think, that are in there and stuff like that. And you hear him and he's like, he sounds like one of those crackpots. The comic syndicates are trying to steal your soul and all that. But if you really read and you really listen to what he's saying, it's like, no, this guy is an actual genius.
Yeah.
Like, everyone throws that word around. It means nothing. But really, that guy knew exactly what he wanted, knew exactly how to get it, and didn't fuck around and said no toys, no cartoons, no anything.
Well, that the 10th anniversary book they did was just fascinating because it was him talking, and he did commentary on all the strips they printed in there. And it was just incredibly fascinating.
But again, if
the Farset has a good one like that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'd love to read that.
Yeah.
That's unfortunately the sort of the daily strips, there was a time there in like the early to mid 90s where there were like 5 or 6 daily strips I was reading that were actually good.
Peanuts hadn't collapsed yet. Right. You had Calvin and Hobbes,
Farside, Bloom County or whatever Bloom County became.
Yeah.
And Calvin and Hobbes, the Farside.
Family Circus, Ziggy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, you're joking. Family Circus is garbage, but Ziggy is always.
Well, Ziggy's worth that.
It's true. Ziggy is a great American.
Oh, Ziggy, will you ever win?
I'm not acknowledging that joke. I don't know what that joke could be from. And,
it's about Ziggy, obviously.
Clearly. Yeah. But no, really, there were, I mean, I know what it was. Zippy the Pinhead is the one that I enjoyed for a while, but that's one of those you can read for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't get that one at all.
There's no getting it. It's surreal.
All right, fair enough.
But if you read it after a while, it gets irritating, but for a short period of time, it's hilarious.
I've read a few of those, and it's just, the guy seems so smug.
Well, that's, yeah.
Look how clever I am, and like, look how out there I am. You can't see this anywhere else.
It's true. I don't know. I did enjoy that, but then occasionally I would confuse it and think it was Ziggy the Pinhead, and that would even make things worse. Because I mean, you know, will you ever win, and will I ever understand you? But
will you ever wear pants?
Or just that clown suit
short
all the time?
Answer, no.
Long answer, no. What is that from?
I have no idea.
Did we just make that up?
I really hope it's not from one of the
verboten. Well, it's not from.
No, it's from.
But it could be from that other thing. I don't know. In any case, there was a period not so long ago in our lifetimes where newspaper comic strips were actually a viable, entertaining source, and we've actually watched the decline of that, and it's kind of sad.
Is there any current comic strips that you read that you enjoy?
Because newspapers are just such a ridiculous thing.
Yeah, I haven't even read a newspaper. I don't know how long.
Yeah, I mean, here at the hotel I'm at, they dropped a newspaper at my door, and I'm like, why did
just
I,
walk
they're
over
supposed
like
to be
garbage.
Yeah, like the maids are here. They're supposed to be cleaning up the trash. Why is this in front of my door? Like, I don't think of it.
I have
as
a computer. What do I need a newspaper
right,
for?
Exactly. They give me Wi-Fi. What's the story here? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to put down if there's any great ones. By all means,
there's one.
Is there really?
Yeah, Pearls Before Swine is really funny.
I know the title. I don't know the strip.
It's Flunk okay.
Apparently disapproves.
Yeah.
You mentioned Peanuts going crazy. That's something I definitely wanted to go back to there. And of course, we all can admit that Charles Schulz, you know, no question, is a genius and one of the greatest.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
one of the great names of that medium, maybe the greatest. And all the other guys we mentioned look up to him and he's a great guy. But there, with that said, there was a period mid '90s until he quit. Mm-hmm. So about 5-10 years there. Where he just went insane. The quality of the drawing went down. Like, he was getting old, and he was drawing all these, I think, himself, so whatever. But the jokes just went nowhere, and do you remember this, Plonk?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I was actually, I got the, who put them out? Fantagraphics put them out, of the
hardcovers,
complete
Peanuts.
Oh, those are awesome. every 2 years in a volume. I got up to, like, I got all the ones in the 50s.
Yeah.
And it's so funny and so like on point, and you forget how horribly depressing and cruel these children were to each other.
Well, there's that, and there's also
the very first strip is just Charlie Brown walking down, and then they're like, "Yep, there goes good old Charlie Brown. I hate him."
Yep.
And that's how he decided to launch this creation.
And that set the tone for the whole early period.
Yeah.
And I got those same, like, I got them from the Seattle Library System's great, and they had all of those, and I went and put them all in kind of like my Netflix queue, like I just put them in a wish list. And then I got an email 3 days later saying, your books are in. I'm like, oh, what books? All of them. And at that point, 7 or 8 volumes were out. So I had to go downtown. These are huge hardcovers. I had to go downtown and pick up. It was a stack of books probably 4 feet high. No kidding. Maybe 3 feet. Ridiculous. And I needed a wheelbarrow. But I took them all home and I read them in like, I don't know. Because with those, you can't just read one or two of them. You just have to.
Yeah.
If you got that collection, you just got to go. But
yeah.
But yeah, not only were they cruel and sort of melancholy, they were still funny.
Yeah.
But there was also this weird subversive, like, I don't take him as a hippie or anything like that. I think he was pretty straight, but there was a weird.
But he was definitely going against the 50s establishment.
Yeah, there was some counterculture in there. There's this great series of strips where a new kid moves into town and his name is Five. Have you guys read those?
No.
Flunk, do
you remember? I remember it. I don't remember the details.
And it wasn't F-I-V-E. It was the numeral 5 in the word balloon, like his number 5. And it was this whole thing where his father was rejecting material culture and the fact that everyone's a number, and they just decided to go ironic with it. And so the kid's name was 5, and the sister's name was 3. And there was a whole bit, and he got like 3 weeks out of jokes out of it, and then the kid went away.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it didn't get old. Like, he got everything he needed and left. But it was this weird sort of, like, hippie,
we're, you know, we're against the culture, man, and we're not a number. And it was like, in Peanuts, really?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, just remember the animated, like the pulling the football away, yeah, and Woodstock and
the eating tree. Yeah, which are good, but there was so much more to it than that.
Well, it's kind of like when people say they like Homestar and they know Trogdor.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, yeah, that's funny, but that's not, you're not even scratching the surface. Yeah, there's so much more here. Yeah.
There's the Snickerman, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up, kid. I
think there goes the Snickerman.
I actually prefer Shut Up Lady, I think, to Shut Up Kid.
It's so decadent.
Shut up, lady.
Shut up, lady.
Oh, actually, Matt, I wanted to, because you hate marzipan with an undying marzipan passion. Marzipan?
Real quick, for anyone who doesn't follow Homestar, which is a fair amount of our audience, believe it or not, marzipan is the only female character in that. No, believe it or not, there are many people who don't follow Homestar. She's the only female character in that universe. Her tone, she's written very differently than the others. So anyway, continue.
She's written like a girl.
Yeah. But she's written like sort of the naggy girlfriend. But anyway, Flunk, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what...
I just want to know what Matt's thoughts and feelings were on Cardboard Marzipan, then, who's one of my favorite characters.
I know. I think I'm okay with Cardboard Marzipan.
So is it that you just hate the voice of Marzipan?
No.
You hate Missy?
No. I think Missy's hot.
Well, yeah, I do too, but...
I just find her infuriating.
Really?
I love that Cardboard Marzipan absolutely hates Homestar.
Yeah, I love that he knows. Like,
and Homestar is Cardboard Marzipan.
Yeah, the contrivance of the joke is Marzipan's gone away, and Homestar has made a cardboard version of his girlfriend to fill in for whatever it is she does.
To just sit there and nag him.
That's what he makes her do. He can make her do anything he wants, and he makes her nag him. That actually feeds into... I've been working on this... I don't know if you'd call it a bit or whatever, but this germ of a not quite joke yet about the horrible wife.
Mm-hmm. With a rolling pin.
Well, there's it seems to be this comedic force through modern narrative.
Well, since the Honeymooners up through, yeah, you know, least, according to Jim or whatever's on TV now.
But like we were watching, I was watching the Twilight Zone that we've always been referencing, mm-hmm, the Broken Glasses one, mm-hmm, and I found that CBS.com.
Well, what's that? I never heard of it.
Well, you remember where there was a man on the wing and everyone was Hitler and...
Right, and it was to serve man.
It was, yeah. It was Earth All Along. Yeah, it was that one.
Everyone's a pig.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Not that one again.
Pig Hitler.
Tiny little curly mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
Where was I going with that? Oh, you know, there's time now. That I did not remember, because everyone remembers the climax, the bit we always quote, but that whole plot was driven by the horrible wife.
Really?
Yes. He wanted to just quiet to read. That's all he wanted. Like, he wasn't a bad person at all. He just wanted a little peace and quiet. He wanted to read a book. And his wife was like, why are you reading books? Why? Stop reading books.
What you reading for, boy?
Yeah, the typical nagging. And it occurred to me, this is like a major force in everything. Mm-hmm. You got this... And I've seen, like, you see, like, the stupid bumper stickers, like, you know, dog and wife missing, reward for dog. Why would you marry someone if you hate them?
It was the thing to do back in the 50s.
Well, stereotypes come from reality, so it's happening somewhere.
Exactly, but why? Who are these people? But really, like,
and they're getting divorced now, so, you know, maybe.
That's why divorce not as common back then.
Well, but, but even
you
now, it's a thing.
With, like, your horrible wife or whatever.
Yeah, but
then...
I was married to a woman we were together and plus married for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. I liked her before we started, you know, got serious. I liked her when we were married. I like her now.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out for other reasons, but...
Well, she kept hitting you with that rolling pin.
I can't comprehend wanting to marry someone that you hate. That horrible, like, yeah, it's a cartoony thing, but it's also quite real.
Well, this goes back to the first episode with Don Knotts marrying.
That's actually another thing that ties back into what I was talking about. Yeah, that plot was also sort of driven by his horrible. It seems like,
except that then his wife wasn't horrible.
Well, that's true. But there's these lovable characters who are kind of maybe have an interest that's not quite mainstream, and they just get shit from this woman that they've promised their life to, who just don't want them to. They want to deny them joy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why would you do that?
What do you mean you're going out? You have to stay here at home and look at me.
And I'm, like I said, I'm still working on, I'm really haven't gone anywhere with that yet. It just occurred to me that the horrible life
is sort of something there
is a thing that needs to. Yes, I'm writing in my notes.
I just like that you follow up down with, there.
I do
horrible life and just sort of cross it out.
I do. I have a list of things like jokes and you know.
Amanda just picks up your notebook, sees horrible wife written down. What?
Well, she's still just the horrible fiance. It's okay.
Ah, okay.
She'll just assume the horrible wife was someone else.
Right, exactly. That was my first wife. Mm-hmm. No, I have nothing but respect for the former Mrs. Almar, and we talk quite a lot. And
I have nothing but respect for my former horrible wife.
Also, she listens to this podcast, so there's that. No, I have, like I say, we're still good friends. We were good friends pretty much the whole time. I mean, the actual divorce was, you know, as it is, was a little messy, but... overall, like I can't comprehend wanting to be with someone.
Yeah.
It's a part of our culture that makes no sense to me at all.
Well, if you've got like a character who's basically under the thumb of you know, your horrible wife, then you know maybe he was forced into marrying her.
What, like he maybe knocked her up or
no? It's just like maybe he was
shotgun.
Forced to, you know, maybe he started dating her unknowing of what he was getting himself into. They kept at it because he was not like a, you know, didn't
a
really
strong,
have the strength to sort of get out of that, and then she forced him into marriage.
She's just really good in bed.
That's another one.
That I suppose that's possible.
That was why Alice and Ralph stuck together.
Who?
The guys from The Honeymooners.
Ah, you know, I've never seen that show.
The last thing I want to think about is Jackie Gleason having sex.
How sweet it is!
it just never ran.
Bang, zoom.
There were never... he was just using beating his wife as a metaphor for space travel. That show never ran in the market I grew up in. I grew up sort of between the D.C. and Baltimore markets, and they never showed reruns of it, so I never saw it.
You missed out on something beautiful.
I've heard you sing its praises, so I believe you think that. But I just
amazing.
Old sitcoms. I have a hard time watching shows with laugh tracks. Mm. I really do.
Oh.
And I may have already discussed this on the show. I can't remember. But,
I don't think so.
But modern show, and of course I go back to Arrested Development. But there are many, many shows like Malcolm in the Middle. I think started the trend over here.
Yeah, I think that was the first one.
And then
for the first big one, anyway.
And then you got like Scrubs, and you got like, you know, your modern shows like The Office and 30 Rock, mm-hmm. where I enjoy these shows, and I enjoy them more because they're more fast paced because they don't stop for laughs.
Yeah.
And it's not that the laughs bother me, it's the pacing. I think.
Yeah, when Kramer walks in and has to stand there awkwardly for 2 minutes while everyone's applauding.
Exactly. And that just takes me back to like Happy Days where Fonzie walks in, and okay, well, now we can take a 2 minute pause. We only need to write a 10-page script because Fonzie walks in. Like, it feels. You know, I think what happened was the show like The Simpsons, which I am mentioning as an intellectual example, not
a
as a reference.
Show, not
good way to justify it.
No, but seriously, this serves my example here. Wrote such a fast-paced show because they didn't have to, you know, because, well, now see, I was going to make a quote here, and I can't. That actually is forbidden.
Because it's drawn before a live studio audience, I can say it.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that. I owe you one for that. No, but really, because they didn't have to stop for that laughter, they could pack way more jokes in. And then I think your sitcoms looked at that and said, holy shit, this is what people are laughing at. Mm. There's twice as many jokes in this. And they started, like, I would say Seinfeld sort of upped the ante, but they still had to stop for the laughter. And then in the last 10 years, the trend seems to be, you know, to take that out of there. And I think it serves the shows. But I also think as a modern viewer going back and watching those shows now, it's kind of painful to me.
No, I can see that.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. So I mean, I don't disagree with you.
Like, it doesn't bother me the way it seems to bother you.
I don't know why. I think it's like from a writing standpoint. I think it's the pacing.
But I mean, like, I was raised on TGIF, so like I've seen plenty of laugh tracks over the years.
Oh, believe me. I mean, I was raised on, you know,
laugh tracks and cheesy piano music.
Yeah, exactly.
They had TGIF in Canada.
Yeah.
Huh.
On ABC.
You learn something new every day.
How I watched Full House, Perfect Strangers, Family Matters, and...
Didn't they have
Step
that...
by Step.
Wasn't that last show?
Step by Step.
Oh, okay. I always thought it was one of those lineups where, like, the last show was, like, always, like, they had almost the perfect lineup except for the last show.
Well, there was always one that they would swap around. It was Step by Step for a long time, and that was after Full House went off the air, so they would rotate that one.
Because NBC had that problem, like, during, like, must-see TV. They had, like, Friends.
Friends, and Miscellaneous, Seinfeld, Miscellaneous, ER.
Yeah, exactly. But no. For a while there, they had like Friends, Miscellaneous, Seinfeld, I think Frasier.
Yeah.
And then
no, Frasier was Tuesdays.
Okay, you may be right. Maybe I'm thinking, I'm thinking actually further back. I'm thinking the Thursday lineup in the 80s, which was, yes,
Cosby.
Which was Cosby, Family Ties, Cheers, and Miscellaneous.
Oh, yeah,
Alf?
Yes. No, Alf was Monday nights. I specifically
remember. Oh, okay.
Because we had a math teacher who was big fucking Alf fan, and we could pretty much derail Tuesday's math class just talking about Alf. None of us really liked it. Like, even in seventh grade, we knew this is not a very good show, but...
hey, Mr. Whatever, we saw Alf last night. I love Alf!
Yeah, you just yell out a line from the show and just, we're not talking about, polynomials anymore. Or
I ate a cat! Ah!
Yeah, ha! That's all it took. At one point, it just go, ha! And then, the no denominator, man. Oh, never mind.
Bring in your Alf pogs.
That's also how they wrote the show.
They just had, like, a catchphrase generator.
Yeah. Like Alf, he was a catchphrase generator. That's what the suit did.
And of course, Dave, our week two guest and voice of the show, is jumping up and screaming right now because he's an avid Alf supporter. Believes that Alf is.
Did he vote for Alf for president?
Did Alf run for? I believe
Alf
that.
Can't run for president.
Everyone. Alf ran for president. Urkel ran for president. Everyone ran for president.
Are you going to pull that birther thing now? Oh, he was born in Melmac. Yeah, you can't prove that. Okay, the birth certificate is inconclusive. He was born in Hawaii. All right.
The problem with Urkel running for president was he ran against the Urkel robot.
That's how they got Superman to run for president. They said he was officially born in Kansas. He wasn't actually born until the rocket landed.
That's boy. As far as Urkel, I think I'm not going too far out on a limb and saying we kind of do have Urkel for president now, don't we? I mean, he grew up cool. He's certainly not a dork now. But
we have Stefan Urkel as president
exactly.
Now.
I don't know who that is. Oh, God. I never actually saw the Urkel show.
I really don't
Urkel's
know.
Nutty Professor alter ego.
I don't know if I want to get into Family Matters lore on this thing.
Really, you don't have like the Family Matters-a-pedia?
That's the problem. I could probably talk about this Urkel, for quite a
Urkel-pedia.
While.
Urkelpedia.
I watched Family Matters.
As Al is to Police Academy, Matt is to Urkel.
All I seriously know is it's one of those shows like Happy Days where they had the breakout character and it became about them. Like,
yeah.
Urkel was not the main character and they decided, yes, he should be. Mm-hmm. And that fat black guy that plays a cop in everything played a cop in that.
Yeah. I just like the idea that, that show was what he went home to, and he would just go off and be a cop in all these different movies.
Die Hard.
He was the cop from Die Hard. Then he went home
cop in Family Matters.
Exactly.
Why he was able to deal with Hans Gruber so well, because he's just so used to dealing with Urkel, affects him anymore.
Now, if you can draw a comedic through line from Urkel to Hans Gruber directly, I will be really impressed. I'm struggling to find some kind of connection between those two, some kind of similarity, and I'm just
fondness for cheese.
It's true.
Is it?
I don't know.
Yes.
Well, Hans Gruber's German. They love their cheese, don't they?
No, now that's a quote. You lose that. Yes.
See, this is the thing.
All right. Now Matt is lost, so that negates it earlier then.
I suppose that's true. Hopefully this weekend we will be hanging out with our mutual Austrian friend. Who will be recording some ear-splitting renditions of the word verboten for us to, that fresh Austin Powers reference that I'm using. But in my head, it's hilarious.
Then we can get her to do the Shake Hands with Danger song. Now go.
We'll have to actually show her the short to really get the full effect of that. Maybe we can bring in known Shake Hands with Danger scholar Pat Loika, who has studied that film like it's the Zapruder film. Amazing. We had him on a few weeks ago, and he studied it. He knows the inner workings. I believe he could write a master's thesis on danger hand shaking.
Shaking hands with danger and the dangers.
Right.
They call him Five Finger Pat.
There you go. All right. Unfortunately, we're going to have to start wrapping this up. We do have several things to record and also a need for food.
Yes.
Flonk, thank you for finally being on. We are, of course, still going to rag you about the microphone, but...
I can't imagine why.
But we do now have a recording of your mother.
Yes.
Your mother.
So really, there is nothing...
According to your mother.
I'm not doing this. I am...
You're your mother.
According to your father. Yeah.
Go right ahead.
All right, we gotta go. I also am choking to death here, so we must depart. So Flonk, thank you for being on. The
All right, Jesus
website,
love you.
The Spork website is again Spork.
Spork-comics.com.
Correct. Anything else you wanted to plug or anything?
Just the good word of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Anything else you wanted to plug or?
No, I'm good.
Oh, Flonk is on Twitter, Flonk2.
Yes, Twitter, Flonk2.
And again, as we've mentioned before, he's one of those guys, really, if you're following us and not him, you're missing some stuff, because we all have our little clique, and you're invited to enjoy our to join our clique. It's not exclusionary.
It gets bigger every day. Mm-hmm.
It's true. So, all right, thank you, and we're going to stop talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website again is Algar, ALGAR.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, at RobotMatt and at Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2009.
He was a suburban child of the 70s.
Compensating for the world's shittiest microphone since August 2009.